All right, here we go. It's interesting. We're going to talk about some things. When Janine was talking today about all those bloods, I remember learning that in college. Well, the professor is talking about it in college. And I did something like Peter did today. I went into a trance. And so I never did get all those A's and B's. I mostly C's and D's. So anyhow. Today, the gift that keeps giving. You know, Janine was talking about blood. You ever nick yourself, you know? I know you have. You're missing a joint. But, you know, most of my life I go around, I'm bleeding from somewhere. I got more scars on my body because, you know, if it's not my hitting my leg or kicking something, it's, you know, I stabbed myself in the hand or bonking my head. I got a little bonk, just a bruise on that one. I was lucky. Got hit by a golf ball the other day. That was a good one. So, you know, by some, I don't know, non-golfer, we'll say. But anyhow, you know, this thing about blood. Typically, when I bleed, the first thing I do is I wipe it off, cover it up, or suck on it, you know, whatever this, these three things are you do. And I try to, what's it do when you push on the hun and then you wait for it to?
Coagulate.
Yes. Anyhow, it's kind of an amazing substance. You look at it, I have type R, it's red. So anyhow, that's probably enough about blood. But blood has been used in the Bible for a lot of things. One is for sacrifice. In the old days, they used to use blood for animal sacrifices, for protection, you know, over the sills of their doors back in the time of Moses, and now for salvation. Jesus' blood has been shed for us so we may have eternal life. That's what the blood we're talking about today is the blood of life for us today. Janine explained that quite well with A, B, O. Today we're going to talk about blood type J, okay? The blood of Jesus. Right, we'll go there. Chapter 10, this is the chapter, I call it the chapter of the Gentiles. That's probably most of us in this room. In fact, we wouldn't even be here today if it wasn't for chapter 10, okay? So let's begin. I want to put a little background to it. Back in the day, there were strong cultural barriers between Jews and Gentiles. Yeah, we don't see any of that kind of stuff today. I'm just kidding. Peter welcomes the Samaritans as brothers in Christ, but that was not the norm. He would have been looked upon as a crazy man to a certain degree of who he hung out with. He stayed at a home of a tanner, probably a Gentile. I keep thinking of that as were they sitting around with like cucumbers on their eyes and tanning. I don't know what kind of tanner it was, but anyhow, so there was that. You know, I go by places where, you know, hey, a tanning place. I think, oh, I'll get some leather products, but it's always something else. Strict Jews would not be guests in a Gentile's home, nor invited to their own. The Gentile, dirt from the Gentile's country was considered defiled. So the Jews, would, after they left that country, going back to Israel, they'd knock the dust off their feet, okay? Jews would not eat the food prepared by Gentiles' hand. Gentiles were considered unclean and their presence defiling. That's pretty strong. Now, Paul says a little later here, and this is going to start our chapter, to really give us the gist of it. In Ephesians 2:11, Christ made both groups into one and broke down the barriers of the dividing wall. And this is what our scripture is about today. So we're going to start out with the first part. And there's a lot of stuff. This is a long chapter. So we'll be here till noon. You know that won't happen. I got tea time later. Anyhow, we're going to start in chapters, verses 1 and 2. And now there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with his household and made many charitable contributions to the Jewish people and prayed to God continuously. It's interesting, he made many contributions to the Jewish people. Cornelius was a centurion of an Italian cohort, okay? A legion back in those days was 6,000 men divided into 10 cohorts of 600 men. A centurion commanded 100 of these men. So each legion had 600 cohorts, okay? So if you're a military guy, you look at this. A brigade was 3,000 to 5,000 people. A battalion was 100 to 1,000. A battery was 60 to 200. This is probably where Cornelius fell in. Platoon 18 to 50, and a squad was 6 to 10. So he was kind of in charge of a battery or a cohort. So Cornelius was a devout follower of the Mosaic Law and influenced his family in the same way. He followed the Mosaic Law, which is very interesting because I don't believe he was a Jewish person. He was a giver of alms, loving sacrifices, especially to the Jews. And this is probably why they liked him so much. Cornelius was a man that demonstrated his faith in good works. Cornelius was a man that prayed often to God. So you have your first application. You have no notes, so you have to do like I do, put them right in your head. Okay? When it comes to salvation, it's faith, not works. He was into the works, and we're talking about faith, not works. But after salvation, works counts for eternal rewards. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about that. So we do work for our rewards in heaven, you know, but that's different than what's going on here. We know Cornelius was involved with Jews and giving, etc., but we do not know if he had any Jewish background. He didn't know about the salvation through Christ until this chapter. This is where it comes about. So we're going to read verses 3 through 8. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, "Cornelius." And he looked at him intently and became terrified. He was terrified, by the way. He was uncomfortable. This wasn't, you know, something that, okay, this is normal. And said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and charitable gifts have ascended as a memorial offering before God." It wasn't salvation, it was a memorial offering. So this was impressive to God. So here we are. He has this. "Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon." I kind of wonder if they would have brought the wrong Simon, what would have happened. But you can see, you got the wrong guy. Anyhow, "whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him left, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier from his personal attendants, and after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa." Okay? So, Cornelius was a devout man, a follower of Christ at the time. Not only was Cornelius devout, but also his family, soldiers, and many that he influenced. His words, life, faith, and helping others had an impact on those around him. That could be an application in itself. At this time, Cornelius' men are on their way to Joppa. Okay, application here. The angel could have just told Cornelius about salvation, but at this time he began to use men, such as the disciple, such as Peter. Discipleship of the church age begins. God is not speaking the way he did before. So this starts a new era. Now in chapters 9 through 12, we're starting to talk about not so much Cornelius, but all of a sudden Peter's over here. He's on the other end of town, okay? 25 miles away, actually. Verses 9 through 12. "The next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the house about the sixth hour to pray, around noon, I believe. But he became hungry and wanted to eat. But while they were there making preparations, he fell into a trance." Okay? "And he saw the sky open up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And on it were all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures on the earth and birds of the sky." So, that's 10 through, I got to remember where I am. This is the other side of the story of Peter. Peter was on his housetop praying about noon. Peter's getting hungry. And I don't know if a lot of you ever done that or lost weight and you get hungry and you go to sleep and you get all weird dreams and stuff. Well, he's kind of in this trance. God gives him a bizarre image while he was there. And it was during this time. By the way, Leviticus 20, 25 through 26 talks about not eating unclean animals. Where he's starting to get this picture right now. Peter has a conflict between the law and what God is telling him in this vision. God is declaring these animals that are declared unclean to be okay to eat. So animals like the pig now are available to Peter. Of course, Peter protests, as he always does, and Peter goes and has some lunch, probably a slab of bacon, who knows. But now we're in chapter 13, okay? A voice came to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, have I never eaten anything unholy and unclean." Again, a voice came from him a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up in the sky. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in his mind as to what this vision which he had seen might mean, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius had asked direction to Simon's house, and they appeared at the gate. This is all interesting. Peter was not just uncomfortable, he was horrified. Now remember, Cornelius was terrified. He's uncomfortable and horrified. He doesn't know what's going on. These guys are both approached by an angel of God. Like Peter, he protested to God about eating unclean food. This was, again, all he knew, and it bothered his conscience. Between the flood and the Mosaic law, a pig was not unclean, by the way. Before the Mosaic law, they would eat pork. And now, during the Mosaic law, it was unclean. During the Mosaic law, a pig was unclean. But God tells Peter, now you can eat this animal. I'm using pig as the unclean animal. So, okay. I believe in history that when God started everything, he knew all this was going to happen. So he makes the pig clean. Then Mosaic law makes it unclean. And now he uses his imagery to teach about the salvation for the Gentiles. Way back when, I got to believe he was prepping this unclean and clean for this moment in time to teach this one lesson so that all would know. So application, Jesus had told Peter to take the gospel to the nations. Now he has given him an object lesson for him to ponder. Peter has to connect these dots. What is this lesson about? Sometimes we can't understand what God is doing, but if we stay in tune with him through his word, we are able to do some dot connecting ourselves. And we don't always see what God's doing, but we can read his word and be aware of what he does. And when it happens, we can be more assured. We have to come up with it ourselves and understand what God's doing sometimes. And if we're not in tune with God, it's very hard to see. Verses 18 through 23. You guys hanging with me? All right. I don't want you going into a trance. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you, but get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgiving, for I have sent them myself." Okay? Peter went down to the men and said, "Behold, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for which you have come?" They said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by the holy angel to send for you to come to the house and hear, to his house and hear a message from you." So he invited them in and gave them a lodging. Okay, it's 18 through 23. Now, Peter was thrown off balance, and he was stumped a little bit by what was happening here. He had two lessons he was focusing on. One was the dietary restrictions were being done away with. So he's going, okay, what's this about? You're telling me to eat this. Now, the other picture was of the church, which included both Jews, clean animals, and Gentiles, unclean, in one sheet or one body. Oh, this is perplexing. This is nothing I thought about that much. So Peter was reflecting on and meditating on the vision. interesting, God didn't just tell Peter to go to Cornelius, but had him think about what the vision was teaching him. God tells us to meditate on his word much the same way Joshua wrote, "This book of the law you should meditate on day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." Interesting. Application of this is, once the scriptures were written, God no longer is speaking through visions in our age. God spoke long ago in many ways, and these last days he has spoken to us through his Son. So, and through scripture. It was late, and Peter invited the three guys in for the night. Again, they would be unclean thing. It would be the unclean thing to do according to the Mosaic law. By the way, Jesus said, "I desire compassion, not sacrifice." Jesus said compassion was more important than religious sacrifice. So we're at this point. Now, understand, it's kind of interesting here. I look at Peter. He debated with God three times about eating the food. He sent three guys. It's kind of like you're waiting for the crow to go off, you know, because Peter has issues with one or two, I guess. He doesn't learn until three. And we know that story, I hope. So now, here's Cornelius. Here's Peter. They all got this. The guys come and get them. Now they're getting together, right? So verse 24 through 26 goes this way. "Now on the next day, he got ready and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. On the following day, he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was expecting him and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet, worshiping him. But Peter helped him up, saying, 'Stand up, I too am just a man.'" Okay? So, application here, people that put themselves on pedestals do so to be worshipped. This wasn't Peter. We are not to worship people, but only God. John speaks of this, speaks of only worshiping God in Revelation 22, 8, 9. John, "I am John," or "I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the word of this book. Worship God only.'" So, you know, it might look miraculous, like you should worship that, but it's God that we only should be worshiping, not the angels or other people. Okay. Now we get to verses 27 through 35. How are we doing on time here? I got to make sure. We started early too, didn't we? That was great. So, verse 27, "As he talked with them, he entered and found many people assembled." You know, the guy called them all together, and all of a sudden all of his friends are there. "And he said to them, 'You yourselves know that it is forbidden for a Jewish man to associate with or visit a foreigner. And yet God has shown me that I am not to call any person unholy or unclean. That is why I am without even raising any objection when I was sent for. So I ask, for what reason did you send for me?" Okay, so he's having this conversation with Cornelius, and Cornelius answers him back. Cornelius said, "4 days ago," and by the way, this is, I got to believe, you know, like Greg and Tucker and all these guys are, you know, I imagine we're all together like this, and a bunch of people are listening to this conversation, right? And they're wondering, what's this all about? So they're telling the sides of the story of what's going on here. How did this all happen? And Peter had this vision. Now Cornelius is going to talk. 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining cloth, and he said, 'Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your charitable gifts have been remembered before God. Therefore, send some men to Joppa and invite Simon, who is called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the Tanner by the sea.' So I sent men to you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear everything that you have been commanded by the Lord. oh, wow, now these people are hearing. I had this vision, and Peter told about his, and all these people, you got to be kidding me. They didn't know each other. You know, this is new. So then, opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. This is a whole new teaching. Here we are, the church age. So that's 27 through 35. God is not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Peter finally understands this and the importance of the teaching to Cornelius and those present. Peter was to present the gospel to these Gentiles, and they became part of the church. God is not wanting any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Janine read 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness. You know, we think, man, that took forever, but not for God. That wasn't slow for him. That was his timing. But is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And I think, man, I can't wait till the Lord comes. Oh, it's tomorrow. I'm going, that's maybe a little slower than that, because God cares about all those that still haven't heard. So think about that. It didn't matter whether rich or poor, male or female, Jew or Gentile, tall or short, green or blue, whatever type of blood you have, Cornelius responded to the work of God in his soul by fearing God and doing what was right as he sought to know and obey God. Therefore, God brought the gospel of Jesus to him, and when he heard the saving truth of the gospel, he eagerly responded. Right then and there, he became a brother in Christ. Okay? God selected Cornelius. He did this. God already selected him. He even sent an angel to him. And why did he select him? Because he knew he was a man of God. He already knew that. Peter brought the message, and by Cornelius' free will decision and his household at the same time, brought them into the household of God. That happened right then and there. So this is a good application too. So remember, we are only the messenger, much like Peter, the disciple. God selected, we presented, they decided. Let me say that again. God selected, he knew who was going to come, he knew Cornelius. We presented, Peter presented, they decided, Cornelius make the decision. Okay? All right. Then we go to verse 36. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. By the way, this peace is not peace on earth, peace. It's the peace that comes with God by having your relationship with God. That's the peace he's talking about. All right. Moving on. The teaching. Now he's there. Peter's there and Cornelius, and they met. People overheard this conversation. Now Peter begins to teach. Okay? And we'll go through 37 through 43. You yourselves know these things that happened throughout Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism with John, that which John proclaimed. Okay? Oh, yeah, we heard about that. We know about the baptism and John the Baptist. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God appointed him with the Holy Spirit, with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. It's interesting that they're saying, and you know, because they were there. They saw these things happening. It wasn't no secret. Okay, these are big stuff. This isn't a newspaper. We are witnesses of all things that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on the cross. You guys know that, right? That's what he's telling them. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he be revealed. Oh, he raised up and he was revealed. Who did he reveal him to? Not to all the people, but to witnesses who have been chosen beforehand by God, that is to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and to testify solemnly that this is the one who had been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify of him that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Wow, there's the point verse right there. All the prophets testify of him that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. There's no Jew or Gentile or different blood type. Everybody. So, that gets us through 43. We're doing pretty good. And we're going to go to verses 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. All the Jewish believers who came with Peter, he had some friends with him, I guess, didn't know that, were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been also poured out on the Gentiles, for they were hearing and speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter responded, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he?" No, I ain't going to argue with that. And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. The last barrier has fallen. There's no more barrier. The Gentiles are now included as equals in the church. The church age has begun. Now, a lot of those that were rigid in Jewish leadership are not happy. You know this. They're tight-necked, and they're not liking this because it's against what they've been used to, I guess. Well, we know the next age will comprise of rapture, thousand-year reign, and a new heaven and a new earth. This will be available to all that accept Jesus. Remember? God is slow, but we think he's too slow sometimes, but remember, there's a lot of people need to know yet. So, we're getting to the so what, okay? Make note, okay? God made it possible for all mankind to be part of his plan, not just the Jews. So don't count anybody out. It doesn't matter. Even a guy like Paul wasn't counted out. Remember, God changes hearts, and we get to tell people how they are, how they can make that happen. We get to tell them how that works. We can tell them that little story right there that Peter just did. No matter the situation, be a witness. I tell you, the hard part is fight off our own egos, self-centeredness, and repent and represent Jesus first. It's hard. I play sports. I'm going to play in a golf tournament this week. I was thinking, man, I want to focus on this, and this, and I'm going, wait a minute. That's about me, isn't it? I should probably try to make sure I become a witness to these guys I'm around this week, more so than anything. Huh. You know, but then I go, man, I hope I play well. You know, so it's I could really get them if I was really up there and they saw my score and they go, oh, you're really something. And then I go, oh, no, not me. You know, so, you know, we don't know. God will humble me somehow. I mean, he always does in golf. Know when you follow God's word, you may be uncomfortable, as Peter was with the centurions, someone that was part of the persecutor of the believers, or eating meat that was considered unclean, or the centurion having a follower of Jesus in his home not long after the Romans killed Christ. What would other Romans say or do because of this meeting? You know, what's going to happen? These guys were uncomfortable. And we talked about that. We're going to be uncomfortable sometimes when we talk about our faith and what we believe in. And it's hard, but God wants us to step out in that faith. We are present in the world today and need to be aware of what's going on, like Roe vs. Wade, different films, TV, news of the day, social media. Through intense prayer and God's word, find your response so those in your world may know Jesus is Lord. And there's a lot of opportunity the world's given us right now to respond based on what the devil's doing. Okay? So a real good question for us is, what are we going to do with that? You know, how are we going to participate in the world today? You know, we can, what's that song you put under the bushel, something? Yeah, that song. I probably sang it once. The Father gave us his Son on the cross, who gave his blood on our behalf, of and everyone who puts their trust in Christ may have this ever and receive this everlasting life. Amen. That's what I saw when I went through here. Now, hopefully that was good and accurate with the Lord, and the Spirit of God is in this. So let me pray, and we'll end our service, but we're going to sing and have more birthday cake, right? Lord, your stories that you put in here, you thought of this. I'm sure you thought about it right before the beginning of the time, how this is going to play out and who's going to be participating and what this unclean and clean meat was about and Cornelius and what Peter was going to say. And we just thank you that your word comes out on paper and that we can reflect on it and we can see how it can apply to us today in this age of the church. In your name we pray. Amen.